We're doing Yeshaya. We're up to what's called the 33rd chapter. We'll start again from the beginning. Hoi Shoded. Woe to you, Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, who plundered all nations under the sun. He conquered most of the nations. Ve'atah lo shadud. Yet no one plundered you yet. You're so successful. You're plundering the northern 10 tribes, almost taking control of all of Israel. He comes so close to conquering the temple. He's conquered most of the countries in the world. So you are plundering, yet no one's plundered you. Uvoged velovaged uvach. You are a traitor, Sennacherib. You turn on people, and no one's turned on you. Katimecha shodei tushad. When you conclude plundering, when you reach the finish mark, then you too will be plundered. Kanlotecha libgod yivged uvach. When you end your bout of being a traitor, of turning on people, then people will turn on you. Adonai choneinu lecha kivinu. Hashem, have mercy upon us. The tribes of Judea call out. Our hope is with you. Don't let us be taken by Sennacherib. He's sweeping. What a force takes over the whole Middle East. But Hashem, our hope is in you. You should be our strength. We see the northern 10 tribes. They put their confidence in their peace treaties, their agreements with the Egyptians. And look at what that begot them. They were taken by Sennacherib into captivity, into slavery. Hashem, our hope is with you. You be our strength. And if troubled times come upon us, if we are in duress, Hashem, you be our salvation. Mikol Hamon, Hashem, we want you to save us when we hear the mass is coming. We hear tremendous noise. Nadedu Amim, nations fled. When nations hear how Sennacherib is coming and sweeping through, so nations have fled. And our sages say, Ba Sennacherib vebilbel kol haolam kulo. Sennacherib mixed up the whole world. He took Ammon and he moved them somewhere else. Moab, he moved them somewhere else. He turned around the whole world. He exiled everyone. But Hashem, Meiro mimutcha, nafetzu goyim. You are so powerful, so everyone will scatter. And the Navi is alluding to the great noise that will happen when Sennacherib's men drop dead. Mikol Hamon, from the great noise. Our sages say that when Sennacherib and his troops surrounded Jerusalem. So that night Hashem opened their ears, allowed them to hear the song of the angels in heaven. And that great noise caused them to have palpitations to the point where they died. So our sages say it was the noise of the angels. They were allowed to hear the noise of the angels singing. And that's what caused them to drop dead. In other texts it says that there was a great plague, that they all dropped dead all around Jerusalem. So the Navi describes when there'll be that great noise, and Sennacherib and his men drop dead like, not Sennacherib, but his men drop dead like flies around Jerusalem, everyone will run. Everyone will run for cover. And it's from your exaltedness that the nations will look for coverage, they'll all scatter. Ve'usaf shelalchem. And then that loot, which the Assyrian Empire will bring with them, because they're going to be in the midst of a military campaign. So they come to Jerusalem thinking it's going to be an easy win, and they bring with them thousands and thousands of captives and a tremendous amount of loot, because they figure they're going to take down Jerusalem on the way. It's going to be an easy win. And instead what happens is they're surprised, and suddenly their men drop dead like flies around Jerusalem, and they all run, and they leave behind that loot. V'usaf shelalchem, and the loot of all the nations will be gathered. Osef hechasil, like the locust gather. And one understanding is that when the locust gather, you can't find a remnant afterward. But in my humble opinion, you could say it's compared to the locust, because the locust gather what they haven't toiled for. Someone else works to plant, someone else works to plow, someone else works to water the field. And when all the fruit is ripe and he's ready to go and pick it, suddenly a plague of locusts comes and enjoys all his toil. So perhaps the pasuk compares the gathering of the loot around Jerusalem to the gathering of locusts, because In fact, we didn't work hard. You know, we were in the city, and they went on all these military campaigns, and suddenly all that wealth is at our doorstep. Kemashak gevim shokek bo. Mashak is a noise that's made like a bear as he's about to pounce. So he lets out this low rumble. Kemashak gevim, like the noise of gevim. Gevim are okay, different interpretations as to what gevim over here. Either gevim comes from the word geve, which means a stream, like the rumble of a stream that's coming down, or the rumble of a bear, or else mashak gevim means the water that tumbles into a pit. As it goes down, it makes a tremendous noise. So that's what's going to be heard from the Assyrian camp, shokek bo. You're going to hear a rumbling in the Assyrian camp as people moan their way to death. There was a tremendous noise, and suddenly you heard all the soldiers going, oh, and falling like flies. So that's what the Navi describes. The loot will be gathered like locust. Kimashak gevim shokek bo. Within the Syrian camp, there'll be a noise like the rumbling of water or the rumbling of a bear. There'll be that noise as within the Syrian camp, people are floundering and falling to their death. Nisgav Adonai ki shochein marom. Hashem has overpowered them, for he is way above them. He is in the heavens. Milei Tzion mishpat utzdakah. God has filled Zion with this miracle. He has filled it with justice and righteousness. When people saw the miracles, so people had a great awakening to do tshuva and reinstate the justice system in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a city of justice. Even before we entered the land of Israel, the king of Jerusalem was called Malki Tzedek. Right? Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem. The kings of Jerusalem were called Malki Tzedek, Adoni Tzedek, because the city of Jerusalem is supposed to represent truth, honesty, justice. And so when Hashem does this miracle, in fact, Hashem will refill Jerusalem. Milei Tzion. Hashem has refilled Jerusalem, mishpat u'tzedakah, justice and righteousness. Yes?
Sorry, I just watched the boat crawl into your bag. So, I just walked into the morning.
Which bag?
This one? Yeah, like a nice size book. Yeah.
Right size?
Not like...
We're continuing. Pasuk Vav. Vehaya emunat itecha chosen yeshuot chochmat vada'at. This pasuk is quoted all over. We'll read it first, understand it in its literal form, and then we'll discuss what our sages derive from it. V'haya emunat itecha. And your existence, the word emuna comes from the word ne'eman, faithful, which also means reliable. Your faithfulness, your reliability, your existence in those times will be Chosen Yeshuot, the strength of salvation, as you see that Hashem will suddenly give you a tremendous salvation. Your faithfulness in the sense not faith, having faith in Hashem, but reliability, your continued existence. So that will be Chochmat Vadat. Here again, the interpretation is divided. One understanding is the knowledge, the understanding of Yirat Hashem, being God-fearing people. Hi Otsaro, that's your treasure, where you will be able to look at the world and view it from a stance of being a God-fearing person. And that gives a person tremendous confidence. If I could look at the world and feel like Hashem's running everything, so then I can deal. I can deal because I know there's a limited scope which I can affect. So the question is, what do I do with what's beyond that scope? I have no control over my health. I have no control over my family's health. I have no control over what other people will do. There's a very limited amount of precautions I can take. People buy life insurance. What happens if the stock markets really collapse and the currency becomes defunct? Will life insurance really help you? What happens? That there are a lot of things that can happen. What?
I mean, you know, when it's law of the jungle.
Yeah.
Weapons and big SUV and all that,
right? If we feel like we're in control, so then we have to recognize, no, we're not. Too many things that are beyond our control. You could carry a big gun and someone has a bigger gun. You could develop a tremendous nuclear system, but then China develops a great bug that can enter your system. A great virus. So who controls that nuclear arsenal? There's no end to the fears a person can have. And at the same time, when a person says, I know Hashem's running the show, I know I have a responsibility within this show, but I know that beyond that, well, that's his responsibility, it's not mine, I can live with the world. So that's a hiotzaro. That's a tremendous treasure that's given to man. When a person can be a God-fearing person, so it's not limiting, actually, it frees a person. Now I can deal with the realm that I have control over. If I have to worry about what I don't have control over, then that can be debilitating. Amar atzel ari b'chutz betoch rechovot eratzeach. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, when a person's lazy, he says, there are lions out there. You walk out into the street, you can get killed. Now, there are people who say that. I had a friend who was about five times my size. Literally. This big. You know, literally. As wide as my two hands spread out. And taller than me. And his mother brought him up with this tremendous fear that you can get killed out there. Now, he was huge. And I asked him, did you ever take the subway? And he says, alone? You know, you could get killed. I said, I don't think anyone would want to mess with you. You know, you're a big guy. And he said, no, I can't do that. You know, he'd be scared of walking. The guy was 16, 17, 18. He'd be scared of walking other than the path from his house to yeshiva and back. That's how much fear his mother instilled in him. And one day I said to him, you know, why don't we go take the subway? We built up to it. After a few weeks, he was ready to take the subway. So we took the subway from the yeshiva across the bridge into Brooklyn, one stop. And I said to him, you'll see that we won't get killed. We took the subway one stop. And then I said, are you ready to take the subway back? You'll take the subway back. You know you get off the next stop. You know how to get your way around. And I'll take the subway after you. I won't be on the same subway as you, okay? I'll be on the next subway. Now, this was a generation before cell phones, guys. There was a time when you didn't have cell phones, so he was like all alone on that subway, and he agreed. He was ready. So he took that subway. What he didn't know is that I got on three doors down. I kept my eye on him just to make sure he didn't have a panic attack, you know, the guy, and he's sweating bullets. He's taking the subway all of one stop, you know, from Brooklyn into Manhattan, one stop. But he got off, and he did it, right? He did it. But that's fear. When you don't have Yirat Hashem, when you don't believe Hashem's running the show, anyone can mug you, anyone can shoot you, you're scared. Life is very scary. A student of ours once called me and said, you know, I've started wondering whether God exists or not, and I can't get out of bed in the morning. It's really scary, this life. You know, he's got a point, you know. He's got a point. So when you don't have that, Yirat Hashem Yotzaro. It's a tremendous treasure. It gives a person a lot of strength. So that's the simple, the literal reading of the Pasuk. Now we have to see our sages say a lot about this Pasuk. Yeah?
I say I agree. Not me, of course. Like, I agree that fear can cripple you. But I don't think because you have fear that you don't believe that Hashem is running the show. I believe you can have a lot of fear knowing that Hashem is running the show, and you say, Hashem, I know you're running the show, but this is a little bit too much for me. You know, that's not having believing that Hashem is there. It's just like saying, you know, that you're afraid because you see things are going in a certain direction, and you say, Hashem, you're the controlling those things. I have no control, and I'm afraid.
Well, you might get killed anyway. But at least if you believe Hashem is decided you're going to get killed, then you don't get nuts about it.
No, but they say, you know, if you have belief in Hashem, you know, you're going to believe everything is for the best, you're not going to have fears, you're not, you know, I mean, so you're going to have fear and belief in Hashem that he's running the show. And because you know he's running the show, that makes you scared. Because things are not going in your direction. Always.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I think that...
He's on the level of Abakir. Abakir is the one who can say, okay, I'm burning, I'm getting...
He didn't know he was on that level until the time comes. I mean,
level of Abakir can say, like for the bigger picture, his death was good. But for, if it was a normal person who got this treatment, you will not take it like Abakir.
God,
but you still believe in Hashem, but not be the level of Rabbi Akiva.
Must be good.
I'm not going to say if this happened to me, I got killed on the fire. Say, oh, Hashem, I believe in you, I know this is good for the picture.
How do you know at the time? People better than you have gotten killed for lesser reasons, and people worse too. If Hashem created us with the concept that we're going to die, and Hashem loves us, must be something in there good, and we can be scared, but... Ultimately, if you have faith, there's this knowledge. I think that
even Sarah said
because we created like rocks.
Even Sarah said, Hashem, this is too much for me.
That's not necessarily what Sarah said. That deserves discussion. But the truth is that the subject you're bringing up is the subject of the book of Eov, I could give an answer in 1 minute. I'm not sure it'll be understandable. There's a reason why Eov spans many, many, many verses. I don't know of a way to get the message across in 1 minute. I would suggest you learn the book of Eov. Because what I said is encapsulizing, to my understanding... a tremendous part of the answer Hashem gives Eov. And the answer is not, you deserve what you're getting. The answer is not, must be, you're supposed to perfect yourself if you're suffering. Those can be correct answers at different times. But you see that in the end, to Eov, Hashem says, you're right, your friends are wrong, you lived a great life, and even so you're suffering, and I'm running the show. And to some degree, that's supposed to, yes, give a person an answer. That understanding that this didn't happen by mistake, didn't happen by coincidence, and again, more than that, maybe on a, if we, A, you could download, we did the whole book of Eov here on a very basic level, and B, if you can convince the guys, we can start a new series in Eov, and in 2 or 3 years, you'll have your answer. Takes that, it's a big book.